Well, the new Star Trek movie is out, Into Darkness. I went along, of course, because I'm a big fan of Benedict Cumberbatch, who plays the villain, and a wonderful villain he plays.
He's a very good villain. Mm. In fact, I think he's an excellent actor, but I have never particularly liked him. But I actually liked him much more in this movie, weirdly. I'm not entirely sure what that means.
And he plays a terrorist who goes around bombing a Starfleet facility, and then he predicts where the brains of Starfleet will meet and decides to attack them in their meeting room.
I don't think it's a big prediction. I think everybody knows that that's where they meet.
Well, it's their standard operating procedure,
yes,
but
exactly.
It does raise a number of questions. At the start of the film, Kirk gets busted because he didn't obey the Starfleet manual.
Prime Directive, yes.
Prime Directive, all sorts of stuff.
Admittedly, Kirk in the original series didn't really obey the Prime Directive.
But the real problem here was that he didn't log the things and Spock did.
Yes.
So he got busted and
Pike
Pike got command of the Enterprise again. Yeah. He got first officer, and Spock got sent off to a completely different ship.
Very briefly, admittedly.
Very briefly.
It doesn't last very long.
By the end of the terrorist attack and Kirk having figured out what's going on and figured out where he is, he's given a mission, which is to track down the terrorist in somewhere in Klingon space.
Yep.
And to destroy him with a drone missile strike from space.
What did you do with them, actually?
Yeah, it was one would have done the job,
presumed. But they gave him a lot.
Now, this sounds awfully like current US foreign policy, doesn't it?
It's very much preemptive strike.
Which is a bit of a worry.
It's not entirely preemptive striking, but yes.
I mean, you'd assume by the time you hit the 23rd century that civilization isn't quite as brutal, and the idea of a trial rather than just assuming someone's guilty might be called for. And Spock does, in fact, to his credit, play the conscience for Kirk.
He does.
At this point. He says, well, how can you just go and kill him? He hasn't stood trial. He hasn't answered for things. So that's the setup.
Mm.
And all sorts of things can obviously go wrong if you're entering Klingon space at a time when war is imminent.
Absolutely.
And firing missiles all over the place. I must say the Birds of Prey
were
wonderful.
Yes.
And there's some lovely special effects and space things.
And they are bumpy-headed Klingons, just so you know.
Mm. On the whole, good film. At 2 hours, I reckon it's probably about 20 minutes too long.
A little long, yeah.
But there's some nice humour in it, some lovely touches, and we can't say much more unless we give you a spoiler alert.
Yes, spoiler alert.
So this is a spoiler alert. It's worth seeing, but we're going to talk about some things in the film now that you might want to know about before you see the movie. So stop listening now if you're worried about spoilers or if you haven't seen the film.
Yep.
The interesting thing about the film is there are all sorts of bones tossed to Trekkies.
Yes, definitely.
And it echoes some of the earlier films.
Very, very strongly.
As we discover that our villain is actually superhuman and genetically modified.
Yes, and if you knew enough about your Star Trek, you'd know exactly who that meant he was.
Mm. I did think they cheated a little by getting the current Spock sort of phoning up the previous Spock and say, who is this fella?
Well, that would seem to be a logical thing to do. If you discover that someone, big spoiler here, is called Khan, it would make sense that you would ring up your previous self who's already lived through this and ask them about Khan.
But it does assume that people are doomed to repeat the same things over and over again.
Not necessarily. Mm. You know, he's lived through an alternate universe's version of this, so not necessarily.
Scotty gets some lovely lines.
He does, yep.
He resigns in protest against carrying these dangerous missiles on board the Enterprise.
A bit of an action hero,
on him.
Again.
And he becomes an action hero, which is great.
Gets to be an action hero.
Yes, she does. And there's a lovely little transfer between ships.
Yep.
By people jumping.
Completely and utterly illogical, and I don't think it would actually work at all. But
I disagree with you. I think it makes sense. If your ship's spacesuits are designed to protect you from the atmosphere, the lack of atmosphere, and have thruster jets, and you're doing a distance, it's possible.
I still dispute that a little bit.
The big echo of earlier Star Treks is the old radiation killing off someone to save the ship.
Yep.
Except this time around, it's Kirk who sacrifices himself and Spock who's on the other side of the radiation barrier making the farewell to the captain. Thankfully, they don't have to create a whole new planet to resuscitate Kirk.
He's
back on board by the end of the film.
Yes, most definitely.
So, I am worried, though.
Mm.
The laboratory use of Tribbles is something to be concerned about in this film. I suspect we'll see a Tribble liberation movement